Okay, thank you. Well, last week I announced that Jeff Hines would be speaking this morning, and then he, like so many others, got touched by COVID. So he is not here today, and he'll be back next week, he said. If he came today, he'd have to wear a mask. We didn't want to hear him talking through a mask, I don't think. So we'll reschedule that. And then the following week, Scott is on board. And Scott, stay healthy. Stay away from people with COVID or any other kind of thing, will you please? Appreciate that. Well, this is a hard morning for me. And it'll be real easy for me to tell you why. In this note that I got from Jim Streetlemeyer on Friday morning. Dear Tom, I have some bad news. Thursday I had a blood draw. It showed a significant tumor marker increase. Yesterday morning, Deb and I met with the oncologist. He ordered a CT scan immediately. I had that at 1, and by 5 p.m., the oncologist called with the bad news. My cancer has returned. It is now in my lymph nodes. One of my major arteries is being squeezed. There is some possibility of radiation fighting back the cancer, but there's every indication that it is throughout my body. Unless God intervenes, my time here is short. I still feel okay for the moment. I thought I'd let you know immediately. We love you and Judy and all, and haven't given up on the possibility that God would work. We will see what he will do. I plan to see my granddaughters today, then see my mom and tell her what is happening. So that was pretty tough news to get that. And Jim is such a integral part of so many of our lives and has served us all in many, many ways. Several of us remember when he first showed up years and years ago and did an internship at Zionsville Fellowship, worked at the gas station, Tilford's, remember, downtown? And it was always a delight to have him come and wait on you. And he did that internship, and then we saw him and Debbie and other friends of theirs began to get involved by having a little church in their home down in the neighborhood. And we've seen what it has grown into, and several of us not so long ago were down to visit the clinic and be there for the celebration. What a grand time it was. With Jeff not being able to teach today, and that news from Jim, I've been kind of rocked by it all. And I thought, what can I do? What do you do in situations like this? So I've been thinking about Jim, and I've been praying for Jim, and I hope before we leave this morning, we can take some time to pray for him. He's been such a dear brother. I thought of a passage of scripture, which I thought maybe I would mainly just read this morning, but I want to give you the background of it. Back in about 54, 55 AD, the Apostle Paul journeyed into a town called Corinth, and he preached there, and he ended up staying 6 months in the town of Corinth to teach and preach and start a church, which he did. And I can only imagine what it might have been like to have somebody like the Apostle Paul come to your town and win people to Christ and say, I want to start a church here. If I'd been there, I want to be a part of this, right? And so they start the church. And here Paul labors among them for all these months to get that, or all these, this period of time to get the church off the ground. ground, and it does. It launches and starts off really well. Time goes by and other teachers come in, and they begin to question some of the work that the Apostle Paul did. Paul wrote back to the church and said, be careful of these people because they will lead you astray. And they had said that Paul was dangerous to the church because he talked a lot about Christian liberty. And with some Judaizers being in the church, these were Jews who'd become Christians, they thought we should go back to the law. So they started preaching law in the church. When you examine the church, it didn't help them. They did not grow. So Paul wrote a second letter to them, and it's called 2 Corinthians, his second letter. And they went from being these worldly people in the first place to getting a hold of it. And that second letter of Paul to the Corinthians is so helpful to so many Christians, has been over the years. I mentioned to you that when I got this news about Jim, and I thought about this morning and having to stand up here and talk to you for a little bit, that a passage came to mind, and it's right out of 2 Corinthians. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And turn to verse 14. God is seeing a change in the church because of being able to correct some of the bad doctrine that they were given. And in verse 14 of the second chapter, Paul writes this: but thanks be to God, who always leads us in his triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death; to another, an aroma of life to life. And who's adequate for these things? Does that remind you of Jim? Just those words that we read there. We are an aroma of life to God, to those who are being saved, and to those who are perishing. If you've studied this passage of Scripture before, you know Paul is painting a word picture. And the language that he uses here depicts a Roman general returning to Rome after a great defeat of the enemies, after winning great battles. And what they would do is they would have the general with all of his troops come marching back into Rome down the main road. And in preparation, flowers were laid along the parade route, and incense was spread around. And so when you came into the city, there was this wonderful aroma in the air. So Paul writes here and he says, for we are a fragrance to God. We're in Christ's parade. He is the victor. He is bringing us in before the Father. He is going to receive the crown of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we march in that train and we are his fragrance. And you just see this beautiful life being lived out by people who follow Christ, who walk in his train. He says, to some we are an aroma of life, to those who know him. Here we are today. Have you here this morning got the aroma? Have you picked it up as we worship together and as we spend this time together? I delighted in this morning to hear these voices and in song together and in prayer and all these things that have happened. He says, to others, we are an aroma of death to death. Who we are, the change that has come into us speaks to others, and it warns them. It's to be a warning to them. Don't keep walking down the same path that you are on. Let Christ come into your life and you be an aroma of life to life. People had come into Corinth and tried to influence the church. And in the next verse, Paul references some of them. Verse 17, we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ, in the sight of God. Have you ever seen peddlers of the word of God? Turn your TV on, take a look. You see them around, and they seem to increase in number all of the time. But he says, we are not like those. The Greek word can also be translated hawking, merchandising. We're not like those who merchandise the word of God. We have no fee. It's free. It comes from a sincere heart. It comes from somebody who really knows Christ. Go on to verse 1 of chapter 3. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we, as some, bring letters of commendation from you? No. Popular that day for people to write letters in behalf of one another and send them. In some cases, it was a good thing to do it. In another case, people began to abuse that privilege. But he says, you are our letter. We came and preached the word of God. You are our letter written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Being manifested, here are people who've now accepted Christ and are trying to live the Christian life. He says, you are a letter of Christ. You are a message to the world, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart. And such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. He's called us all to be his ministers. And notice, I love this. Not that we are adequate in ourselves. Our adequacy comes from him. And then verse 6, who also made us adequate servants. None of us is perfect, but we're adequate for what he called us to be and what he called us to do. You don't have to be the best. You have to be who you are. You have to be sincere. You have to let Christ work in you. But that makes us adequate and not perfect. I want you to notice a word that is used continuously through this third chapter. Not written with ink, verse 3, but with the Spirit. Verse 6, who made us adequate servants of a new covenant, not of letter, but of the Spirit. Letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Verse 8, how shall the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? The Spirit. This growth that we experience comes from the Holy Spirit. As we yield to him every day, he makes us adequate servants of the new covenant. Go over to verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You want real liberty? Let the Holy Spirit work in your life. You want real freedom? Freedom from sin, freedom from flesh, freedom from all the things that really bring us down. Yield to the Holy Spirit. He makes us adequate ministers and he purifies us. And notice what it says here. Verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. He says there's a mirror. We don't see all these spiritual things with our naked eye right now, but there is a mirror, and we look into that mirror, and that mirror is a reflection. It's not totally clear, but enough that we see the truth, and we are transformed into the same image, the image of Christ, from glory to glory. Some translate it from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. You know, you're being made into something new. Not all at once. A little here and a little there. From one degree of glory to another degree of glory. That word glory is just a great word study. You can go look at it, and it talks about resplendence and magnificence and all of these sorts of things. But tucked in that definition is the word reputation. You are being changed from one reputation to a new reputation. A little bit at a time. As we daily give ourselves to him, as we let the Holy Spirit work in us. And we may not notice it, but others do. And the Lord knows. And we are being changed from one degree of divine reputation to more and to more and to more. One more word, verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, we have received mercy, and we do not lose heart. What ministry? We have received this ministry. What is the ministry? Each one of us, for each one of us, the ministry of disclosing Christ to the world. It's what it's all about. That's it. Disclosing Christ to others. Verse 6, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Nothing to say about that verse. Just to dwell on it. But this is hard sometimes. Why is it hard? Verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Where's our weakness? Right here. They deteriorate. They give way. Sometimes we really want to serve the Lord, but we get dragged down by these bodies of humiliation, right? Paul calls them. The call is serve him while you can. Give him everything that you have. And sometimes these little vessels get cracked and they break. Lord says, don't give up hope. That only lets the light shine out brighter. When I talked to Jim the other day and he was telling me this, I thought, what a glowing light. Broken vessels, but light shining forth. How about we stand together and pray?
To keep going there reminds me of Jim 2. You go to verse 8. we're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. perplexed but not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. And then skip down to verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not are eternal. And he left me a voicemail that same day, and you know how he ends it? Let's get together so I can be an encouragement to you.
Well, let's stand together.